regular board meeting for the Sandy Hill High School District to order. And I need for us to have our welcome, or our protocol and remarks read, please.
Welcome to the meeting of the San Dieguito Union High School District Board of Trustees. If you wish to speak regarding an item on the agenda, please complete a speaker slip located at the sign-in desk and present it to the secretary to the board prior to the start of the meeting. When the board president invites you to the podium, please state your name before making your presentation. Persons wishing to address the board on any school-related issue not elsewhere on the agenda are invited to do so under public comments item. If you wish to speak under public comments, please follow the same directions above for speaking to agenda items. In the interest of time and order, presentations from the public are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. The total time for agenda and non-agenda items shall not exceed 20 minutes. An individual speaker's allotted time may not be increased by a donation of time from others in attendance. In accordance with the Brown Act, unless placed on the published agenda, no action shall be taken by the board on non-agenda items. However, the board may, 1, acknowledge receipt of the information, 2, refer the matter to staff for further study, or 3, refer the matter to a future agenda. In compliance with Government Code 54957.5, agenda-related documents that have been distributed to the board less than 72 hours prior to the board meeting have been available for review on the district website or at the district office. All matters listed under consent are those on which the board has previously deliberated or which can be classified as routine items of business. An administrative recommendation on each item is contained in the agenda supplements. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Trustees votes on the motion unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items to be discussed or pulled from the consent items. To address an item on the consent calendar, please follow the procedure described under comments on agenda items. As a courtesy to all meeting attendees, please set cell phones and electronic devices to silent mode and engage in conversations outside the meeting room. Thank you.
Right, thank you, Ms. Rose. If you'd all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The board has previously met in closed session but not taken any action. At this moment, though, we need to consider and have a vote on each of three student discipline cases. So I need a motion to approve the expulsion case number 2018-065-SD for violation of California Ed Code Section 48900B and C for the period of February 9th, 2018 through February 9th, 2019. Can I have a motion and second, please?
Move expulsion.
Thank you.
Second.
That's a roll call.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hugershan?
Yes.
Thank you.
The second case is to approve the expulsion of case number 2018-068-SD for a violation of California Ed Code Section 48900B and Ed Code Section 48915C2 for the period of February 9th, 2018 through February 9th, 2019. May I have a motion, please?
Move to expel.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call again, please.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hodeshain?
Yes. Thank you. And case the third is to approve the expulsion of case number 2018-070-SD for violation of California Ed Code Section 48900A2 for the period February 9th, 2018 through February 9th, 2019. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And roll call again.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hegesham?
Yes. Thank you. That brings us to approval of our agenda. And I have not heard of anything being pulled. Does anyone have
any? Do have the one speaker slip on,
always,
on the consent calendar for item 11A.
Did I bury it?
Nope, I've got it.
What number?
11A. Oh,
11A.
Okay. So we just need a note of that.
Okay.
All right, then can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That carries. And we need approval of the minutes from our January 18th, 2018 regular meeting.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that carries.
No. Epstein.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Joyce abstained because she wasn't present.
Here.
You got that? Okay. Excuse me, Ms. Delson. All right, which brings us to our student introductions and updates. But before we start their updates, we have...
Yes, we need to swear in a new member so that she can give her official update. So, yeah, please come down. Okay. I'll need you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. So, aye, and say your name.
Aye, Gabby Gunner.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will.
And that I will.
Well and faithfully discharge.
Well and faithfully discharge.
The duties upon which I'm about to enter.
The duties of which upon I'm about to enter.
Welcome to the board.
And Scott Geyer, perhaps you can start us out this evening with your report.
Okay, so as there's been like a lot of interest from incoming freshman class and other lower classmen and already in school, there was an international baccalaureate informational meeting on January 24th, which is like putting LCC on track to become one of the first high schools in the district to offer IB courses. We had our finals right before the break. It was a lot less stressful this year just because like the admin team worked with counselors to basically like restructure the schedule, so we only like most students only had like one final a day, which was like super nice. It was able like we could focus just on the one subject at a time. And then after the break on Tuesday, we just had our informational night for middle schoolers who are making their high school selection soon, because like the information or the high school selection window is open now, or it's going to be open. Not really sure. Not a middle schooler. This year it was super well organized, and it really showed off like all aspects of our school. I just wanted to personally thank Mr. Dill for attending. It was like really meant a lot to everyone who like organized the event.
Thank you.
Yesterday we had our first pep rally of the second semester. It was like the first time in a really long time that we had a battle of bands, where we had like a bunch of different music groups from around the school play. It was super cool to meet, like highlight all the musical talent at LCC. Something that doesn't like usually get highlighted a lot, and it's the programs that supported like marching band. And then also during the pep rally, we had a mini like teacher versus student basketball game, which is really like kind of brought all the student body together. And then today we had like a 3-in-1 safety drill, which was it was went lockdown, earthquake, and then to like a fire drill. And just the professionalism of these drills really makes like students on campus feel like more safe, and just kind of to like know in your head like, oh, there's a plan, like we'll be okay. And then tonight there's a comedy sports game. It's just like more evidence that like Mr. Golden has been putting like a lot of effort into the theater department and just like making like a big comeback from like where it used to be. And then tomorrow night we have senior night to honor all the senior athletes for both boys and girls basketball, cheer, water polo, and soccer. Then finally on Saturday we have our winter formal dance, which is at SeaWorld this year. We've nearly broken a record. We have 1,100 tickets sold so far, and then we still have tomorrow to sell. This year we rented out a roller coaster. It's called like the Manta Ray. It's kind of like SeaWorld's like big roller coaster thing. The reason why we rented the roller coaster and we're bringing like a bunch of other things like Dance Dance Revolution, like a bunch of activities, is to make sure that we have something for like all types of students who like, so then like it's not just the kids who want to go to the dance, but we're really like having like something for all the students at LCC.
That's great. Sounds awesome.
Gabby, before you begin, would you tell me how you pronounce your last name? So
Glenner.
Okay. All right. Gabby Glenner is going to give her first report then for us this evening. Thank you.
All right, so because we're on the 4x4 schedule, we just started our second semester of all new classes. So a few days ago, we had our first back-to-school night, and so that was when the parents came and just toured all the classes, and we had ASB Kids stationed all around campus because we have a lot of construction right now, so it's kind of difficult for the parents to get around, but we made it work. We just had auditions for our musical production in Chicago, and just happened, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be good. Rehearsals haven't started yet, but should be good. In the next 2 weeks, we are having a dodgeball tournament, and so that's between all the different homerooms, and that's through Homeroom Olympics, so that's just an ongoing competition that we have. And we actually had someone today, which was a dance-off, so we had a few representatives from each homeroom go into the middle of the gym and just, I guess, compete through dancing, which was really funny to watch. And then next week, we are going to have Valentine Grams, so we made a little note for each student, and we're going to tape it up all around the campus, and then they're going to have to go around and find their name. Sports, yesterday we had our boys' soccer senior night against Sage Creek, and we won. Tomorrow we have girls' senior night against LCC, and one highlight is that this is our second year of having a girls' water polo team, and they're doing great. They've been winning a lot of their games, which is really awesome. And then this Saturday night, we have our formal as well, and we are having it at Liberty Station, and the theme is Classic Hollywood.
Nice. All right, thank you. Jack Cargas, please, for CCA.
All right, so, yeah, we are on the 4x4 as well, like at States. We just got through our finals and started a brand new semester with new classes. And then Tuesday, we also had our back-to-school night for those new classes, and that was a real success. This week, we held our No Place for Hate Week, which was run by the Slate Club on campus. We had some amazing speakers throughout the week. We also had a compliment board in the middle of the quad, since writing compliments and kind of beautifying our campus a little bit with that. And then also, there was a speaker today from the Butterfly Project, which is a project that brings awareness about the Holocaust through the use of butterflies. They make ceramic butterflies, and each butterfly represents a child that was killed in the Holocaust. And their goal is to make 1.5 million of those to represent each child. And I think they're 200,000 or something, and CCA would begin that today. So we made a bunch of butterflies, and it was really, really cool. And, yeah, it was really a powerful speaker. Also this week, our Japanese program hosted Japanese exchange students, so that's been really cool to see them kind of experience our culture and come to classes and stuff like that this whole week. And right now, there's a comedy sports match going on versus LCC. Our comedy sports players versus theirs. I think that's at LCC. But last weekend, Ansley Park and Michelle Zhang performed at Carnegie Hall for the National Honors Performance Series. That's really cool. And also six CCA students participated in the San Diego Brain Bee. And four of them were finalists, and one person got third in that competition. This weekend is our annual mini-cine competition, where groups of kids can get together and they sign up, and they get 48 hours to create a film. You get specific stuff you have to put into that film, but you have 48 hours to create it. Then next Friday, there is a film festival where all those films are shown and prizes are given out and stuff like that. Then also some upcoming events. We have our incoming freshman info night on Monday, and our senior parent information night on Tuesday. And we also have our 7th annual CCA Writers Conference organized by the CCA Creative Writing Club. And that's the only free writing conference for high school students in the U.S., and they're going to have a bunch of writers come in there, and it should be really, really cool to have a bunch of workshops and stuff. And that's going to be on February 24th, and registration is open now.
All right, thank you very much. And Sarah True, please, for Sunset.
What's up, you guys? You guys excited for Friday? So close. I just looked this up just now. We have 112 days until school is over, so also get hyped for that. Celebrate is coming, people. 4 to 3 months, I'm not sure. But I just want to get excited about that. I'm excited you guys are too. On January 2nd, Miss Clark finally had her baby. She's a healthy, sweet baby girl named Charlotte, and we're all super happy for her. And I bet she's super happy, too, because she gets the rest of the semester off.
I think she'll be working, though. She'll be busy.
Different kind of job. It's Wellness Week once again at Sunset, and we're taking on new approaches having to do with all things health and safety. Male teachers held a special guy talk on Wednesday during advisory third period, and today the girls at Sunset learned a self-defense strategies, and I thought it was pretty awesome. I didn't get to do mine yet, but you were there for that. I was bummed.
She wanted to use me as the punching dummy.
Possibly. That was pretty cool, and I'm excited about that because I want to get to learn about the physical stuff. And as part of Wellness Week on Wednesday, the girls had an opportunity to take an aptitude test, helping identify specific skills and traits for a job of their interest. When I took the test, it suggested that I should go into a field of education. However, I've known that since the first day I started kindergarten. So,
yeah.
But on February 12th, Sunset is showing around some visitors from Bayback and Costa Mesa, giving them examples of how we do things day-to-day here around Sunset High School. In addition, the 13th of February is Spring Picture Day for the new students and those who were absent for the first picture day. Moving on to February 15th, there will be a field trip to Kaiser Permanente for those interested in the field of healthcare, which is super awesome because we've done a construction one. I forget the other one we've done, but now we're doing a health one, so, like, whoa, good for us. And lastly, this semester, we're starting the PALS program, which stands for Peer Assistant Listeners to Support Sunset Students, which I know the SBA does, and I don't know about you guys, but... So we're doing it now, too.
Well, thank you very much. And Isaac Gilman sent...
He did.
Via Mr. Dill.
He did. So let me pull this up. This will be Isaac's shortest update. He is at the Torrey Pines Info Night tonight, where I think the rest, some of us would be if we weren't here tonight. So tonight is information night for deciding eighth graders, and that is going on. The Out of This World Winter Formal is this Saturday at the San Diego Air and Space Museum. One of the music program's winter concert part due will occur February 26th and 27th at CCA, both nights beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, go to torreypinesmusic.com. And the TP Players' newest production, Leader of the Pack, is co-directed by Ms. Marini Payne and student Jackie Morales, and that will run from February 21st through the 24th and February 28th through March 3rd, and he will see us at the next board meeting.
All right. Thank you for doing that. And Ms. D'Alessandro, would you like to start our board report?
Well, probably for the first time ever, I have no report, except what wasn't mentioned is that CCA is having their foundation fundraiser gala on Saturday night. The theme of it is Oh, What a Night, and they're having a star from Broadway, from the... Jersey Boys production, who has been working with the students for quite a while to bring them up to speed. Students are always incredible. That particular fundraiser every year is on the CCA campus, and it is an amazing fundraiser every year. And I'm so happy that I was able to attend that.
Great. Thank you. And I plan on attending that as well. I'm looking forward to that. I met on the 31st with Julie Union, a school board member from Solana Beach, and Kristen Gibson from Del Mar, just as a quarterly check-in, see how everybody's doing and keep the lines of communication open between our three districts, and that's always a nice way to share ideas. They both have students in our districts, so they have good perspective on that as well. On the 5th, in this boardroom, I attended the parent site rep meeting, which is always... very informational, but a sharing of ideas, and I think this time especially the group is very comfortable with asking mm-hmm. questions, and it's nice for staff to get those questions from our parent leaders, so I thought that was very productive. And then earlier, we all attended the board workshop on budget planning, so that was before this meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Self.
Yes, I thought this meeting we were going to have on the agenda of the discussion for broadcasting these board meetings, so I wanted to do a little bit of background information. I met with San Diego County Board of Ed, board member Rick Shea, discussed with him how they do their filming, I don't think it's film anymore, how they project their board meetings. He told me, and I guess I'm going to more detail next meeting, but if it's on the agenda, that he thought it was very good, that they had a lot of interest, and that he really felt it was important for the transparency of the county to have that. And then I decided I'd go out to Poway. I went to their school board meeting last week where they were having a special meeting with the San Diego County Board of Ed was actually there and saw their facilities, saw their cameras. They have Big Five cameras, I think, and they actually have an operator, but the tech told me that the new technology is, like how I'm talking into this microphone, they don't have to have operators. The camera would just film or be directed towards the person speaking.
Oh, of course.
And if you wanted to get background, also just go to their Poway School Board's website, and you'll see how unbelievably easy it is to just click on it and watch a board meeting and fast forward or reverse or what have you. It's very, very simple. Mm-hmm. So I just want to do a little background on that, and that's it.
Yeah. I'll just chime in and just say that after the last board meeting where we had the discussion, I did instruct our director of technology to start reaching out to other school districts to find out more information on exactly how they do it, and then take into consideration this room and our infrastructure and what it would take to develop a few options, and then then we bring back proposals and for board consideration. So he's working on it.
No, I understand. Yep. I understand. Yep. It just seems like it's pretty seamless, and mm-hmm. at least those two.
Those two going off to Poway.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a fun meeting, I heard.
Yeah. Yeah, they have like 150 people there. The only other thing is, it's kind of not off topic, but they're having big mapping issues mm-hmm. there. And they have like 150 people there to protest the map that they picked. They have a lot of speakers.
That was the school board or the county board approval?
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't make it a decision. Right. I think they're doing it at some other time, but it was a lot of people very angry about stuff. So. It was fun for me just to not be part of it.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Meadhart.
Well, I went to Mammoth with the whole school. Costigan, did you go, Scott? I didn't see you, Mammoth.
You did go.
You did go, yeah. Yeah. Everybody and their brother was there, by the way. You know that Mr. Marcus didn't see you, but you know everybody was there, right?
Yeah.
And what was humorous is he sent a letter out to everybody in the NCU Student School District saying, we know you're taking your kids to Mammoth and don't do it. And everybody had the letter at the slopes. I started laughing so hard. And let's see here is, I want to talk to you about the finals is... the sports were planned during finals, and I don't know what that is, but I think we need to change the schedule next year, as a lot of kids have to really study really hard, and now we're going to sports, and the sports were between, Torrey Pines and La Costa Canyon, the soccer, and here kids had finals all week. I think that's really unfortunate. Maybe we can work around that, or maybe, Brian, you can find out about this. Is that
we'll talk with our athletic director. Actually, yeah. I think the AD meeting is tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay.
Yeah, so we should bring that up and make sure there isn't any sports during the finals week. Or maybe some have some sort of embargo during that time. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, two tests, my son had the AP physics and AP math on the same day, so maybe next year we can get those two or tough classes. And I don't remember, and I wanted to bring this up, is Mr. Golden, we met with him, and what position did he think was needed to be funded? I couldn't remember.
He was talking about the tech position.
Theater tech.
The tech position, and I was hoping, I wanted to remember that, but maybe we could put that on a future agenda, is that that seems like that's really important to get... that going at LCC. We're going to get that up and going and support that. And I also want to say I stopped by La Costa Canyon to sign scholarship for golf and swimming. It's Charlene Grogan, who is the athletic secretary. She was great. She was great with the kids signing up. She was very patient, very resourceful, and very pleasant. And I also met with Danielle Martinez, Scotland's counselor. And she was great with the classes for senior year and about what we need to do to apply to college. And I also spoke with Luann Rivera, who we are, have scheduled for a meeting with the board. And I wanted to say maybe we should put this onto it and maybe put it off until March, because we've got some board members getting off, and maybe be better facilitate that with new board members.
So you would say March 2019.
Right, 2019. Instead, I think that it would be maybe serving the board better if we had new board members on, and if board members getting off, that would be a great way to kick it off.
Okay, well, I wanted to say I did get your email. Yeah. I just been out of the country for
she
some,
told
got,
me
got home last night, so I did see
and the email. She said she didn't know some board members were getting off, and I said, you know, maybe just put it on hiatus.
All right, well, that was actually one of the things I wanted to share was the reminder that we have that coming up. And I believe, I mean, we put it off once before, and at this point, I think we just need to go ahead and go forward with it. It'll be able to produce some, I don't know what we would call them, not positions, but protocols and so forth that we agree to that will help set it up for when there's new people. Then they can come in and start working on right. whatever else, team building or visioning, or do some other portion. And I think this is something boards should do, you know, some sort of work annually, and we haven't done this for several years, and I think...
I actually spoke to her as well this week, and she particularly talked about the fact that there will be a manual that we will produce, and that will be really helpful in board transitions with mm-hmm. new board people coming on board. And there was no mention, but I didn't mention anything about putting it off. I was the first one she talked to, so okay. I thought
the only thing I have to say about the handbook is that we've got Masters in Governance, and I think that should be something we should, if you're going to go forward with this, have new board members take that. And
oh,
I think
sure.
That,
oh, absolutely.
We always, yeah.
Is that when she was saying, well, handbook, I said, really, we should be pushing that.
But that's always been the kind of the recommendation for new board members, and it's been supported by the district, and I know certainly we participated. I think this is a time for our board to get together and discuss about our own protocols, and having come on the board a number of years ago, we really don't have our own handbook, we don't have our own protocols, and I think it's important to have them moving forward, and these wouldn't be rules hard and fast that the next board couldn't review and discuss if they thought there needed to be changes. But I think it would be much harder for a new board to come in and say, you know, this is what we do.
I'm going to interrupt because actually we're in board report.
Thank you. I was about to.
Okay. We had a discussion and we did all agree to do this workshop and we did schedule her. And at this point, I think there'd be a cost for us to not move forward. And I think we should move forward and get what we can from it.
Well, she said there is a class that we would take together
in the future, separately.
In March, the same time.
Well,
which she recommended.
So we can look at that, but I believe...
yeah, we're getting a little deeper in discussion than we normally do for non-agendized items.
So, all right. Thank you. And then I just wanted to share when we did the annual conference, the delegates had, among other things, we did a 20-question survey and used the little clickers and had kind of some quick feedback, and just finally were able to get the printed outcome of it. And I just thought I'd pass it down and let you see. Just it was kind of interesting, kind of the span of the questions that had gotten put before us, that, you know, I think, concurrence in general. There was whether you agreed and then whether you agreed that you didn't think it needed to be a priority issue for CSBA to be addressing, or if you disagree.
You mean at the conference?
Yeah, this was just 20 different topics. It's everything from, you know, should we have funding addressed by our state, you know, fair funding, should we limit attorney's fees on certain types of issues? It kind of was just 20 different questions. So anyway, I just thought I'd share it with you. I can send you the email copy too, but I just thought I'd pass that down. It was interesting information. So, I'll let Mr. Dill.
Thanks. As Mr. Geyer mentioned, I was at the LCC information night last Tuesday. It was a very nice presentation, and I thought it was really balanced and really showcased how that school has something to offer for everyone. I wish I could be at Torrey Pines tonight. I'll be at SDA and CCA next week. So very nice event on Tuesday night. Last week we did have our teacher in-services during semester break, so while you were all getting a couple days off during the break, our teachers were hard at work, and those professional development workshops are really fun to sit in on because they're teacher-led, you know, and it's not Mike or Mark or any of our district office folks who are standing up leading that. It's teachers instructing their peers. They're working with teachers from across the district in their same subject areas. They're working on articulating and making sure that the seventh grade teachers are teaching everything that the eighth graders need to know, and vice versa. And so it's really nice to watch that work. And so I dropped in this year. I try to mix it up between first semester and second semester. So I hit English and CTE, and I'm trying to remember the third one that I hit during that day. But I did spend the full day sitting in with those teachers. 2 weeks ago, I was also up in Sacramento and met on a number of different items contained in the governor's budget. We were kind of going through what we thought was in there, and you heard some of that information this evening, but also got to sit down with Jeff Bell, who is the person at the Department of Finance who oversees all of Prop 98, and so it's always great to sit down with him and hear what he thinks the crystal ball is and to give his own spin on what the governor has presented. So it's good to have those relationships. And then just wanted to mention tomorrow that I will be on a luncheon panel with Assemblymember Shirley Weber. And she's a very fierce advocate for public education. And so I always love to have the opportunity to be near her because I get to whisper in her ear. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't need anybody to whisper to her because you just wind her up and let her go. But it's always good to be able to be with somebody who has a pretty strong voice up in Sacramento.
Good. Thank you. And we have a few folks with us this evening to give us some updates for our LCAP priority information. So first is Brianna Weatherford from Oak Crest, speaking regarding English learners.
So good evening. My name is Bree Weatherford. I'm the principal at Oak Crest Middle School. This is my first time presenting, so thank you for having me this evening. And as Beth mentioned, my topic tonight is redesignation or reclassification of our English learners, as well as the support we offer our English learner students. So for redesignation, we have a unified process that we're utilizing throughout the district, looking at specific criteria in which we would reclassify an English learner. That includes data that we look at from assessments, grades, academic progress, feedback from teachers, communication and feedback from parents. And the newest assessment we're rolling out in the spring, the LPAC, is taking the place of the SELP, which is the assessment that we've used in the past. So I'm excited to see the new assessment, how the students do with the new assessment, and all of that, again, is something that we work on unified as a district. Many of our sites have ELD coordinators that help with this process as well, and then the administrators and the teachers of those students are really involved. When I was at SDA last year, it's something we celebrate when we reclassify our students, so we held a celebration. We had about 15 students that were reclassified. We invited their families. We had a little luncheon for the students and really celebrated their accomplishment. In regards to support for our English learners, right now at Oak Crest, we have 59 English learners on our campus, and we have some unique class offerings and support opportunities to ensure that those students are successful and having the same opportunities as their English learner or the native English speaking peers. So we have an English enrichment class, which focuses on acquisition of reading, writing, and English language skills. We have an actual reading class that utilizes our Read 180 technology. So we have students that are reading in small groups. We have students utilizing technology on the computers. And then quite often getting one-on-one services from the teacher and the support from some of our college readiness tutors. We have Math Essentials, which is really targeted towards our English learners and learning the vocabulary so that they can be successful with the math curriculum. And then, as I mentioned, we have the pleasure of having college and college readiness or AVID tutors in many of our classes where we cluster or support those students, as well as I have an ELD coordinator on my site. We actually have a very large parent population that participates in our ELAC meetings, and then I have one representative from ELAC that sits on my school site council, just to make sure that parents are a really big part of the community and the decision-making and the process. Last but not least, I just want to say that we really are celebrating bilingualism at Oak Crest this year. I have students from all over the world, which is unique. A lot of the times we have them from Mexico or Central America, so I have students from Honduras, Brazil. I just got twins from Italy. Mm-hmm. We have students from Mexico and from Guatemala right now. And so we celebrate that bilingualism, and we started a program this year so that those students could be in a leadership opportunity on our campus. They're called the Bilingual Student Leaders. They have bright orange t-shirts with their name on it, an Oak Crest logo, and they've been helping to provide translation services and just opportunities to make sure that all of our families feel welcome on our campuses. So those kids have helped during back to school night. I have my first tour starting next Tuesday, and so I have a couple of those students who feel comfortable speaking in front of others that will be talking about their experience at Oak Crest, as well as their leadership role in our Bilingual Student Leaders program. And then they'll be helping me as well at our sixth grade parent night. And they're really excited for the opportunity to celebrate being bilingual and to have a leadership opportunity to help support our school. So that's my update for this evening. Thank you again for having me.
Any questions? I
want to say I've been at several of the middle school promotions at your campus, and there's always a way that you honor them. I have different times, different ways where they've read something in their native language, shared. So I think it is something that's been given specific intent and done well. So
thank you
for sharing. Yeah. Any other questions? Or?
Thank you.
And we have Principal Brian Marcus from La Costa Canyon here this evening about the International Baccalaureate.
So before we get started on International Baccalaureate, LCC received a little bit of news earlier this week, and I appreciate Superintendent Dill sending out a personal email to our staff. It was very well received. We received a 6-year accreditation with a 1-day visit, which arguably, if you don't get the full 6-year clear with that 1%, it's the best you can get. So very, very pleased with that amongst our staff. Just kind of, I wasn't there for the one before, but I know that the staff kind of took this on as like, we want to make sure that we dig deep and kind of go through this action plan and reveal some things that are really happening on this campus. And there's a lot to talk about at LCC, and I'll get to IB, but the 7-period bell schedule kind of lends itself nicely to IB's format. Mm-hmm. So LCC this year has been, has had a lot of visitors through our WASC visit. Mm-hmm. And then also we got to turn around a couple months later and go through an IB visit. And we're kind of been waiting until March, and we'll find out, but with a bunch of winks and big smiles, like I think we're in good trajectory to become a full-blown IB diploma program, and we'll start implementing our classes this very next year. We'll start off with a very small cohort of kids that will be taking IB International Baccalaureate classes. We have around 11 that we'll be offering, anywhere from ranges of English, math, we'll be in history, science, and then also in the world language and art. We're still in the process because of meeting with counselors and admin, Dr. Grove, Melissa Sage, and just kind of trying to vet the classes with the standard level and the higher level, because this is kind of a retooling of how we've kind of approached teaching and learning and also our class and course offerings. And just to give you a little background, because this is just a massive topic to consolidate in like a brief presentation. The IB diploma will be only for 11th and 12th graders. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of time as we're starting to grow with this program. We have a ton of interest with our incoming info night, with standing room only, with our 8th grade families coming in, and we have a lot of interest with our 9th grade families. And as you can imagine, our 10th grade families are pretty prefixed with what they want to do with their 4-year plan. And so I really love the fact that we'll be kind of offering kind of small class offerings to begin and then kind of grow into it as we start to figure it out. IB as a whole, I kind of look at it as I feel like I'm in high school every day. You know, I feel like I get a chance to kind of live high school. And I look at it as myself as like, what would Brian have benefited from? you know, if I was to go through high school again, and what classes would I wanted to take, what programs would I want to be involved in or clubs. And I look at IB as a real opportunity to prepare kids for college. I love, after going to visit RVV, where Dr. Grobe's wife is the IB coordinator, and looking at the theory of knowledge class and just seeing the kids and how they are just operating at such a high level, but it's in such a caring, kind of open-minded, inclusive kind of setting that it really kind of filters out to the whole school. I love the fact that it offers an extended essay. We talk about our relations with students and staff kind of bonding and creating a safe environment and a culture on campus where we're kind of motivating these kids to excel on a daily basis but also be prepared for college. And I look at this extended essay, and it's something that I think all of our kids would benefit from in preparation from college. So there's a ton of classes. We're still in the starting blocks. I feel very passionate about this program and what it's brought to our campus. We've sent over 14 administrators, counselors, and teachers to IB training. I'm very appreciative of the board support, Superintendent Dill and the Associate Supes. We have two science teachers at Rice University this week. And it's just every time a teacher comes back, new ideas are born, and it brings the whole school closer together. And I think in closing, the thing that I would say most about IB is just looking at the class that we offer this year. We have 25 kids that are taking, just for elective credit, an IB class. And they've started an IB club. And from that IB club, it's filtered out to, as Scott mentioned, who did a wonderful job, it's filtered out to our arts, to our athletics, to our academics. It's allowed all these kids to come together and really kind of figure out, like, what makes LCC so great. And I think when you're looking at WASC and when you're looking at IB, who both provide you with action plans, it helps you as an instructional leader with your team to kind of look at that action plan and set goals for where you want to go in the next couple of years. And I think that's what I'm most proud of at LCC, being there in year four. So.
All right.
Good.
All right. Do you have any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mr. Marcus.
Thanks for coming up this evening and giving us that update. I have two speaker slips as we head into public comments. So if Sharon Conger would like to come to the speaker stand.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sharon Conger. I'm a parent of two students. My older son graduated from LCC, and my younger son is a senior at SDA. I've been the parent liaison for the SDA boys water polo team for the past 2 years. Prior to that, I've been involved with school water polo teams as a parent and as a supporter. Tonight, I'm here to publicly thank you for finding the funds to pay for the pool for the team this year. Last year, I was responsible for asking for parent donations and determining that we would have enough fundraising events between the donations and the fundraising to pay the $17,000 fee for the pool. Now that you have picked up the facilities fee, we've been able to hire a coach for the third team and purchase needed equipment such as new goals, new caps, and things that were very necessary, and they've gone without. So I know that the parents, the players, the coaches, everyone has benefited from your decision, and I think it's important to recognize when people do the right thing. So thank you from all of us associated with SDA Water Polo. We really appreciate it. Your support of aquatics will greatly benefit the students, the players, the community. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming this evening. Shelley Wheatley?
I'm going to withdraw my request.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming. And that brings us to our consent agenda items. And I have one speaker slip. Wendy Gump?
I think you would approve the consent items except for 11A.
Okay. And I have a motion to approve items 11 through 15 with the exception of 11A, please.
Second.
Thank you. And We have a second. Mm-hmm. I didn't capture somebody. Second. Somebody. So it was Mrs. Muir and
Mrs. D'Alessandro.
One of the ladies to the right here. Okay, thank you. And we need a roll call.
Okay. Mr. Gaia?
Yes.
Ms. Glenna?
Yes.
Mr. Hargis?
Yes.
Ms. Trigg?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hovishain?
Yes.
Thank you.
And Wendy Gump, if you would like to come speak regarding 11A, which is our gifts and donations.
Good evening. My name is Wendy Gump. So I, for the last year, have been advocating about gifting transparency. And so I really wanted to thank you all tonight for making progress on outlining donations to the district. The 11A item numbers were fantastic, and I'd like to say that I noticed that Torrey Pines Foundation raised $126,000 just in this month alone that they donated to the school district. So it's nice to see that publicly acknowledged on the gift log. I also wanted to ask some questions regarding comps to principals, board members, and staff. Every year, public employees complete Form 700s marking Schedule D income and gifts. Throughout the years, board members report out that they attend events and fundraisers. You did so tonight about the gala for CCA. I have not seen any reports of gifts from the school foundations to board members on the gift logs or on the 700 forms. Are any of you attending foundation events as a guest of the foundation? If so, you really need to report it. You could be putting yourself at risk and the foundation at risk for accepting those gifts without reporting them because they are monetary. As an example, the CCA gala is coming up. The tickets are $145. If board members are going for free, that's a gift to a public official. You really should be reporting it. Are any of you going and not paying the $145? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good question, Wendy.
I know that I've read, I don't have the language at my fingertips, yep. But there are, when we're there present, if we're not accepting a table
the gift rules are pretty, actually they're pretty complex. We're now in Form 700 filing season, so we'll get some advice out to you on this particular
item. I thought it was just $50. Anything over $50 you have to report?
You know,
since
I don't look at it from the, I know public official, elected officials are different than district staff, and I know that there are some different rules on elected officials on drop-in events and versus something that is, somebody gave tickets to a sporting event. So there's a lot of different categories. You have to really look at it carefully. We'll look at it again in context of these questions. We'll give you some advice on that.
Well, thank you for raising the question. I need a motion to accept the gifts and donations.
So moved.
Thank you.
Just
a second. Second. All right. We need a roll call for item 11A.
Mr. Gaia?
Yes.
Ms. Glenna? Mr. Hargis?
Yes.
Ms. Trigg?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hovishain?
Yes. Thank you. Brings us to our action items, and the first item is adoption of our proposed new and revised board policies, which Mr. Miller has brought to us for our second time this evening.
And good evening. This came to the board for first reading in January. There were no recommended changes, and it's being brought back tonight for approval. Just as a reminder, the board policy basically updated state testing language and now makes our board policies in line with the current testing program.
Thank you.
And I have a motion to adopt the proposed board policies as shown.
Second.
All right. Did you get the names there? All right. Thank you. Doing that so fast. Then this one, I will ask all in favor to indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries and brings us to our adoption of a resolution declaring February National Career Technical Education Month. And Dr. Grove is bringing this to us.
Yes, this is a roll call.
and Will Zapata, who is leads our career technical education program, has planned to be here, but he is down with the flu.
Aww.
He can't get his flu shot. We're bringing this before you just as a recognition of career technical education. It's obviously been a rapidly growing area statewide as well as within our school district. We have quite a few model programs that have been recognized in the area of CTE. We pretty consistently, about once every other month, we have other districts coming to look at our CTE programs, and they are recognized throughout the county and the state. I think you probably heard recently that we received some grant money to expand our CTE program in particular areas at La Costa Canyon, particularly to upgrade the culinary arts facility and to kind of expand the new farm to table program. So we continue to be recognized for that. So this resolution is really just asking you to recognize the good work that our students, our teachers, our leaders, and our parents are putting in to support these programs and help our students figure out what they want to be when they grow up, regardless of whether they go to college, grad school, or straight into the workforce.
Somebody, what's the farm to table?
It was a facilities grant program run that the state put out for specifically for CTE programs, and you could apply with a competitive grant. And we submitted an application for La Costa Canyon to expand and upgrade the culinary arts facility, as well as to develop a on-campus farm. And so that we can grow fruits and vegetables that would then be used in the culinary arts program. And it was successful.
Who's going to facilitate that?
Facilitate what?
The farm.
Well, I don't know who yet. I mean, we're several years away from that becoming a reality.
First, we have to do all the renovations first, so that's going to be a year and a half or so out before we're able to do that.
So how much was the grant?
It was
2.4. Yeah, $2.4 million.
Okay,
yeah. I will also say that in recognition of this month, I've invited all of our state and federal elected officials to visit our schools to view our career technical education classes. This is the busiest month for our state elected officials with the new legislative season, but really I'm opening the door for them to come out any time to come and look at our CTE classes.
I know Pat Bates wanted to come.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I did.
She's been calling me about
that. Oh, good. I sent her a letter
Chris.
As well.
Okay. Yeah. Did you talk to Chris?
I didn't. We sent out a formal written invitation to all of them, just extending the welcome that we can schedule that at any time with their convenience.
Might reach out to Chris Mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know Chris.
All right. So I need a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved.
Thank you. And this is a roll call.
Ms. Gaia?
Yes.
Ms. Glenna?
Yes.
Mr. Hargis?
Yes.
Ms. Chig?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Oh,
yes. Ms. Hilbershan?
Yes. All right. And I need to open a public hearing for consideration of adoption of resolutions for statutory fee increase with and without urgency.
We have no public comments.
And we have no public comments, so I'm going to close the hearing. Oh, that's too tentative. I got to do that like a minute. And we need a motion to adopt the both resolutions that we have, levying fees on our development projects without urgency, which becomes effective in 60 days, and with urgency, that's a 30-day maximum, as shown in our attached supplements.
Move to adopt.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And this is also a roll call, please.
Mr. Gaia?
Yes.
Ms. Glenna?
Yes.
Mr. Hargis?
Yes.
Ms. Trigg?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hilbershan?
Yes. Brings us to item 19, which is a public hearing and adoption of the San Diego Union High School District's initial proposal to California School Employees Association. And I'm going to open again for a public hearing. Did we have any speakers for this one? No. Then I will close the hearing. And Ms. Frazee, did we need to hear anything from you before I go any further on this?
I think it's
pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, then I'll move right on to the B portion. That's adoption of San Dieguito Union High School District's initial proposal to California School Employees Association, San Dieguito Chapter 241. If I could have a motion, please.
Move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And another roll call, please, Ms. Rhodes.
Mr. Gaia?
Yes.
Ms. Glenna?
Yes.
Mr. Hargis?
Yes.
Ms. Trigg?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheim?
Yes. If you read all the words, these are different things I'm saying, but item 20 is a public hearing for the California School Employees Association 241's initial proposal to San Dieguito Union High School District regarding their collective bargaining agreement negotiations. And so I'm going to open this. And do we have...
We have no comments on that
okay,
one
I thought there was one we did.
Later.
All right, thank you. Then I will close the hearing. Comments, and I...
What is exactly the difference? I can't really figure it out.
So, Ms. Frazier, you can explain the difference between the two.
So, both of these are public hearings. One is to have a public hearing to allow the public to make comments in regard to our proposal to CSEA, and then the other is a public hearing for the public to make comments on CSEA's proposal to us.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And the first one was adopted by the board because that is our proposal. This one is it is just the CSEA. The board does not take action on this.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Close the hearing. We're on to the next.
I think you did close the hearing.
Okay. item 21 is the California School Boards Association Delegate Assembly Election. And I started out when I was coming back into town thinking, oh, well, we have until March 15th to do this, but it has to be postmarked the afternoon of our next board meeting. So... Mm-hmm. But it wasn't too hard. I just had to sit down and do it. What I would like to recommend, we're allowed to vote for up to 10 candidates, but what has happened here is we have several, two districts that have submitted, one is national. Mm-hmm. They've submitted five, mm-hmm. all five board members, and Chula Vista has submitted some and already has some mm-hmm. on our board. And I am going to make recommendations that keep us with only one or two from those boards because for two reasons. One is if they have three, it becomes a possible mm-hmm. violation for them. Although CSB never set a rule, so we've also requested, would they please make a clarification so that we don't have quite this situation come up again. And also because we'd like to spread mm-hmm. the voice around the county. Mm-hmm. So I will... make my recommendations, and I know we may, for the time being, have to accept more onto the delegates. I mean, until we hear from CSBA, so it may be one of those things where we get 10 top candidates, but then three of them are knocked off because they're in the same boards or something. So I am recommending Elvia Aguilar from South Bay. She's an incumbent. Maria Betancourt Castaneda, she's... a new person from National. She's been there, I think, 3 years, but she's been very involved and seems like a real interested party there. Claudine Jones from Carlsbad. Mm-hmm. Elva Salinas, I'm kind of excited that would bring us someone from Grossmont. We haven't had anyone from that area mm-hmm. on delegate. Deborah Shade returning as an incumbent from Solana Beach. Marla Stritch from Encinitas. Cipriana Vargas from Vista. And the only one I would ask is, Brian Clapper is an incumbent from National, but that would be another person from National. So,
are there any from National currently on the board?
I have the list. I believe we have one, yes, mm-hmm. but it's not someone I'm real excited about. I think I'd be more interested in bringing in Maria Betancourt Castaneda and maybe okay. keeping Brian Clapper on. But
I see.
That's
mm-hmm. yeah.
What about from Ocean Side?
I haven't found her to be someone that's been real helpful to what's going on in delegates. She's not always been engaged, involved, or present. So I just don't really feel that I can recommend her. Mm-hmm. But again, if want to support.
I'm just asking. Yeah, no, you didn't have these last two down. I thought yeah. there was a reason that you didn't.
No. Chula Vista, he's another one. That's one where we already have, they're not up for election this time, but we have Eduardo Reyes.
Oh, that's
we have
other, that's where you're looking
right,
at.
Right, there. There's a full list. Okay. And we have Leslie Bunker from Chula Vista already. So we have two Chula Vista folks already. So the question is, do we recommend six or, let's see, I had seven or eight. So I had Elvia, Aguilar, South Bay, Maria Betancourt, National. I guess the real question is, do we want a second person from National, if anyone has any feelings?
National is pretty large.
So, I mean, I'm okay with that. I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the rest are either incumbents or a new area that we haven't had represented before. So those are my recommendations. That's three. Eight people that I would have us voting for.
So then, next time.
No, actually, we have to have it mailed in by the end of the mailing day on March 15th.
So you're saying tonight.
Okay. So tonight, I would like to ask for approval of those eight names. And
you don't want to do Eleanor from Ocean Side because it's the only one on there from Ocean Side.
Well, she is, but I just don't. I mean, if someone else feels strongly, but I generally.
You've had experience as the president working with this group.
She got appointed to fill a spot, and I just don't personally feel that it's been a good match. So that would let someone else either get in or.
So it's from the north. That's what I'm just thinking. So it would be more balanced. Mm-hmm. That's why I would think.
Well, if there end up being openings, that's something where then our director, which is Katie Dexter, can fill. And that's where we've gotten some of the other folks, because there are other people. Cipriano Vargas from Vista. What else do we have that's up north?
Because I didn't see anybody else from Oceanside, from the north.
So, no, that's true.
At current moment,
we've got only Evans.
Right, but Eleanor Evans is not up for. But she's currently a member. She is from Oceanside.
Yes.
Right. Her term expires. Okay.
So she's up for election.
Okay. Oh, I see.
I'd like to nominate her.
Okay. Does anyone have any? I mean,
I'd like to get someone from all over. To me, that seems like more balanced.
We've had Oceanside people usually.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one on there.
Yeah. I'm open to discussion. Okay. I just thought if it were from my perspective.
So in this case, are you recommending all of the other incumbents we're voting for?
Actually, there's one other, Barbara Avalos, but that was because I know, again, she's been okay, but I think Maria Betancourt, she's a Barbara Avalos has been a board member for 27 years. She's come on delegate for a couple years, and she's been there. But I think Maria's like a 3-year, and I think she's probably got more energy and apt to really dive in, hoping to move forward and do more with CSBA.
I like the fact that you're rotating. I like that idea. So, you don't get some people who have energy can.
In the time that I was there as president, I'm just kind of using what I took. So there are, otherwise, the other delegates that are returning, I do endorse. So. I have eight here. Did we want a ninth or not? To add Eleanor back in from Oceanside.
Yeah, I
want to
nominate her for Oceanside.
Okay, is there a second from our...
Oh. Second.
You're good with
second.
That? Okay.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Jeff.
Then
I...
Shall we do that one separately? I'll tell you that one.
Yeah, that's your recommendations.
I'll start with Eleanor Evans from Oceanside. It's been moved and seconded that we consider her on our ballot. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Then I will... then the other... eight that I had already read. Could I have a motion to approve those?
I move approval.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Then those nine names will get submitted for being sent in time. Get them postmarked duly.
Okay. We will need to have a copy of that, so I will make it official for the minutes.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Then, thank you. Then we... last item is item 22, for adoption of revised board policy, and this comes from Mr.
Speaker. We do have a speaker slip on this one.
Thank you. Wendy Gump again.
My name's Wendy Gump. So I actually just had a question. I wasn't going to speak, but you know, I like to ask questions. So, so this says the schedule for certificated employees. And so I was just curious, do the non-certificated employees get paid per the same schedule, and are they getting the 0.5% raise as well?
The on the extracurricular, the 0.5% raise is, I think it applies to the entire extracurricular schedule, but it's two different schedules. So the one is for certificated employees, one's for walk-ons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there is one for walk-on.
It's separate.
Oh,
it's as I understand it.
I haven't seen that one ever.
Where is that at, Derek?
Oh, and that would come under a classified employee. I'm being saved. I don't on the walk-on coaches, it's a different salary schedule. That is, this is the one for the certificated employees who are coaches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I'll go see if I can find that one, because then the pay looks the same when you pull it down between walk-on coaches and teachers on the schedule.
Very well, maybe.
Yeah, correct.
Salary schedules, because walk-on coaches typically are not certificated employees.
Right, but are they getting the 0.5% raise?
That has not been, that they're not certificated, so they wouldn't at this point. We have not negotiated yet for that.
Okay, so then, all right, so I'll look at it. So then the next question is does the district have any contracts that have been approved outside the step and column schedule?
You know, you have your 3 minutes to make comments, and
those are my comments.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And then we can answer questions after the public comments.
Okay, I've got one question. Is a signing bonus, so then the walk-ons get that signing bonus too? Didn't it say signing bonus on there in the bottom of that? So I thought so.
No, we have that as an encouragement for our teachers to coach, but that does not exist for the walk-ons.
The walk-ons, correct. Okay. And where is the list for how much the walk-ons are?
I was trying to pull it up, but it should be in our classified.
It should be in the classified.
Yeah, salary schedules.
Oh, so it's not on there because we don't have.
Correct. So that right. So this is for the certificated. The classified, which would be our walk-on coaches, would be a separate salary schedule. In years past, they have been aligned because you're basically having teachers or coaches, whether they're teachers or not, typically earn the same stipend for that. But at this point, we're only bringing forward the certificated.
Why aren't you doing a parity on that?
Because we have a tentative, we have a fully approved agreement with our certificated bargaining unit,
so
and we do not with
that.
Our classified.
Not
yeah. Well, and so they may very well, and this was, you know, since the Sunshine was just approved, we'll start our negotiations with classified, and sometimes they do ask for additional stipends on the classified extracurricular salary, I guess not call it extracurricular for that, but the classified salary schedule, they might ask for additional stipends. They might ask for increases in, you know, ticket takers and game security and all that. They might ask for that, and so that comes with a cost, and it has to be considered with all other proposals that they might bring forward to us. Mm-hmm. So we don't bring these things forward until everything is settled.
I'd like to keep parity with our coaches. I don't want there to be any disparity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's
or they don't even know that.
Correct. Well, so you know, one follows the other, and in the past, I do believe across sports that whether they were a teacher or a walk-on, they were making the same stipend, right. And so we would try and keep that.
Well, you know, usually the coach is the teacher, and then they have the assistant coaches that aren't. Mm-hmm. So.
And those stipends don't nearly cover the amount of hours that many of those coaches put in. So.
Yeah, oh, I know for sure. They do a great job.
All right, do you have any other questions for Ms. Frizzi on this topic? If not, I need a motion to adopt this revised board policy.
Move to adopt.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
All right. That carries and brings us to information items, business services update.
So the only update I have is we, as you know, last semester had several workshops around best practices on fees and donations. We are going to be holding two more. So the goal is to try and do them on a regular basis before each season so that the new parent volunteers coming in we'll all be getting the same information. So we have two more coming up on the 21st and the 26th, We'll be inviting the executive director of the foundation, the PTSA leaders, letting the principals know, so anybody involved in fundraising, et cetera, will be in attendance.
So you're going to tell them 7th and 8th grade, set down with them too?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So then they know.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. And educational services update, Mr. Dr. Grove.
As you know, we are in high school selection season, so we, as you mentioned, have an info night at LCC. We have info night at Torrey tonight. We have two info nights next week, and then on Wednesday, Valentine's Day, the window opens up. People can select their schools all the way through Monday, March 5th is when the window closes, and then about just over a week later, we will notify families as to whether there will be a lottery, and if there is no lottery, we'll notify them that they are in their school of choice.
Hey, Mike, somebody called the district office, and they got conflicting. I know, where do they drop it off if they want to go from Decatur to Oak Crest? Because they got, someone said take it to DL, someone else said they could take it to school.
So the window for, that's for the middle schools.
Right.
The window for intra-district transfer, so if you live in the Oak Crest area,
right,
and you want to go to Decatur, that doesn't even open.
So no, but I mean, where do they drop it off? Somebody asked me, and I always thought you just dropped it off at school. Am I wrong here?
I don't actually.
That's to what we've operated with.
That's what I thought. And someone goes, well, no, they switched it. I just want to make sure because I don't want to give somebody wrong information.
Well, as we get closer to that, we'll definitely.
Because the application's not even available.
Yeah,
that's
what I thought too.
And let's see, Ms. Frazee.
Wait, can I say something?
Sure.
Actually, okay, I have a question.
Yes.
So remember when we went to that school panel thing? And
yes.
We were talking about how Sunset should be a part of, I don't know the words exactly, but just what was it called? The application process for
trans.
Yes, that one. Is it going to be a part of that this year?
Well, so high school selection is primarily targeted towards 9th graders, and the state law says that 9th graders shouldn't go to alternative schools, that we're not supposed to kind of have them there unless they're very unique situations. So we wouldn't open up Sunset to every incoming 9th grader. Could we do that for upper grade students? We could, and that would be something that
should.
We would discuss. That would be something that Mr. Ayala would need to kind of decide, yes, I want to do it. I think he prefers to have conversations with kids before they just choose the school and come there. Because
he wants,
high school selection, you can just go on and choose and then you go. And so I think he prefers to have some conversation with kids to make sure that, you know, that Sunset really is the right fit for them.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it was like being encouraged at all, because I know it's like most of the time it's discouraged a lot. So I don't even know if that's a word.
Actually, not. I mean, Mr. Ayala was trying to drum up business this morning in the principal's meeting. So,
oh, really?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, because not too long ago we were talking about making sure folks understood what the choices are
and
the choices that are available.
Mr. Miller and Mr. Ayala spent some time this morning with principals to have a discussion on how to reach out into counselors so that they were getting students sooner rather than later for where Sunset would be a good fit for them. Often they come, you know, kind of at the end, and we could have intervened earlier if we knew about them. And so that was the conversation Mr. Miller and Mr. Ayala had this morning with our principals. So, you know, we're trying to reach out and boost enrollment in other ways than the high school selection.
Okay.
But thanks for asking,
yeah.
Sarah. Thank you.
And I think just to highlight all of the great things that Sunset has, maybe it's an opportunity to use that throughout the community. You know, like info nights, but is it just a separate, let's highlight Sunset in the community?
Well, yeah, because most people that end up going there, you know, are 10th graders that, you know, just started coming. And as soon as I got there, I thought, I wish I had been doing this since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think that you should maybe incorporate it, because it's not just an alternative high school. It has alternative learning, but it's a way to move forward. Like, it's starting, like, your real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that, I mean, I know I have no control over it, but I just think it should be encouraged, you know?
Yeah.
Just because, especially the kids that are over middle school, it's really such a relief just going to a school like this.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, human resource update. Ms. Gazeef, anything else?
We're just getting ready, moving down the same path, looking towards staffing, and we're working with principals on how we're going to be doing our hiring and recruitment for this next year.
Are we seeing a lot of retirements?
I just saw a few this year.
Yeah, I saw that on the thing. Are we looking at a lot?
Right. We're getting... No, we don't actually... We have... I can't even remember. Maybe about 8 right now. And there's rumors in the wind, but we don't...
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. All right, okay. Thank you. And Mr. Miller, any administrative service updates for us?
So this past Saturday, Merrick Wadley and our school social workers participated in Operation School Bell, in which 126 of our middle school students who meet the criteria as homeless youth receiving free and reduced lunch and or foster youth met at the Encinitas Target, and these students were treated to being able to purchase up to $100 of school clothing, courtesy of the Assistance League of Rancho San Diego. Can't thank them enough for their partnership and for you all for approving that MOU each year.
That's a good thing.
Wonderful event.
Future agenda items. I forwarded one of the emails that came while I was gone, was another CSBA suggestion about bringing forward resolutions from our districts to support full and fair funding for our schools in California. And so I'm requesting that we look at that resolution and consider adopting that at our next meeting. Any other items that we need to bring forward?
No.
All right. Well, then thank you. And this meeting is adjourned. Good evening.
Okay.